If you would turn with me to the Romans, chapter of Romans, the sixth chapter in the book of Romans, I'd like for us just for a few moments look at an idea of victory in our lives as Christians. You know, one of the things that disturbs me as a Christian and as a minister is the reality that when I look out very often, I see Christians and I experience Christians who are not being victorious in their Christian life. And we've got everything to be victorious for. After all, who we are and what we are, will belongs to the Lamb, isn't it? And because of the Lamb, Calvary's Lamb. Well, let's look what the Scripture has to say. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that to so many as us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being risen from the dead, dieth no more, and death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that was poured down upon us, that when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that sin no longer had dominion over us. Death was conquered, and the victory was ours. Father, tonight as we come to you and we share your word here in this place, and Lord, we thank you for these people and the love of Christ that we've experienced in them. Let the word speak to us of the great victory that we have experienced and the great victorious life that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you were on a 20-story building and there was someone on the ledge and they were getting ready to jump, and they would say, this is the only solution that I have to life's problems, and I'm going to leap from this ledge. What would you say to them? What could you say about your Christian life that is victorious in purpose, that can show them that they can have purpose and victory in their lives? The reality is, we do that all the time. We're confronted with people who are living on the edge of destruction because they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the reality of it is that we who have experienced Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior have the opportunity to share with them about a life that is victorious and a life that has purpose and a life that is exciting in Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at these particular verses, the first thing that comes to mind is the question, what shall we say then when it deals with the sin? Should we continue in sin? You know, there were some of those, and particularly if we go over in the fifth chapter, in the 20th verse, we see the question being presented there, where it says, moreover, the law entered. But them, when sin abound, grace did much more abound. And there was those that were questioning them, should we continue in sin, and therefore that we would receive more grace? And the answer to the question, of course, is no. Obviously, we're not to continue in sin. In fact, the Christian, it is said, in the grace of God, has given the ability and the power, as he dies to sin, to put sin and all the things of sin behind him, because when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we die to the sins that are in our lives. Yeah. Those sins are no longer a reality. They no longer have dominion over us. We're victorious. We're stronger than they are in Jesus Christ, you see. And the new life requires, I think, of the Christian to understand the mechanics or the mechanism by which we are victorious in our Christian life. And to look at that for a moment as we look down in the latter verses there, beginning with the second verse on down through verse 10. First of all, we see that the Christian life is a separation from the old life. It is a separation. It is when you die, the soul and the body are separated. And when we die in Christ, we separate ourselves from what we used to be. We're born into a new life. There's an illustration I like to use for that. Sometimes I think it explains some of our Christian problem in regard to that. There was two Irish, and it was Mike and Patch, you know. There was this turtle, and Mike had come by and chopped the turtle's head off, and the turtle was just wandering around, and without its head. And they were in this big argument, and Pat came along, and Mike said the turtle was still alive, and Pat said the turtle was dead, and they were arguing over it. And then another Irishman came along, O'Brien came along, and they said, okay, you've got to settle this argument. Is the turtle alive or is it dead? And O'Brien looked at the turtle a moment and he said, well, it's dead, but it don't know it yet. And I think the problem with a lot of Christians are that we're dead to sin, but we just don't know it yet. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, no longer does sin have dominion over us. We have the power to overcome sin, and we are free to live a free life, free from the sin, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is to be identified with Jesus Christ. It's saying that we take off the old, in the verse 5 it says we are planted together in the likeness of death, of his death, and shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We are to identify with Jesus Christ, both not only in his death, when we're baptized in the death of Christ, but into his resurrection and the reality that we're going to be victorious. You see, the Christian life is a life of victory, not a life of defeat. It is a life in Jesus Christ. We are winners. And the church and the Christians need to proclaim wherever they're at, in your church, in your community, in your school, where you work, when you're out playing, when you're out going to whatever you may be doing, we need to live in that reality that we are on the winning team. And we are winners. We need to let the world see that we're winners and not that the world somehow is stronger than we are, but we are winners in the Lord. It tells us here, on down in verses 3 and 4 and on about baptism, and it deals with that the heart has been implanted, that we have been implanted is the word that's used. And first of all, we have been implanted with a new heart. With a new heart. You know, the moment that you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are planted in a new heart. Those that came forward this morning accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They receive, and it's a new heart. They're implanted with a new heart. A new person takes place. It is impossible. One of the big things that's taking place today is organ transplants, and we have a lot of publicity and a lot of things going on with organ transplants. And you know that a lot of times an organ transplant, the body rejects the organ, the new organ that's put in. Well, let me share something with you. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you get a new heart, and the body can't do anything about it. It can't reject that new heart. Well, let me tell you something else. That new heart can reject the body and the old nature of man, and the new heart, in fact, changes, if we'll allow it, the old body. And change it from that sin. It gives us new power. We're implanted then with new power and desiring this new power. And that's where we get over in Philippians. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. We're implanted with the power of God to do God's will. You know, I've heard people say, I just can't do God's will. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, according to Scripture, yes, you can do God's will, because God gives you the power to do it. You see, it's not something that you can't do. You know that's an excuse we use some of. And then we're also we have been planted with a new life. We're a new person. We're a person that that not even reflecting to deeds and so forth, but we're a new life in that we're motivated with a new energy to do a new purpose. I've had someone ask, how do you really know if you accept Jesus, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The reason how you really know is that you're energized and motivated in a different direction. You really are. You don't want to do the same things. You don't want to be the same person. You're motivated in a different direction. Paul goes on in these verses to share with us in the last verses 11 through 14 particularly, a sort of an instruction manual on how we are to be victorious in this new life. Let me share with you, though, as I appreciate a church that puts a clock in the back on the wall back there. I don't have to take my watch off. I take my watch off. My church knows it doesn't mean anything, but I take my watch off anyway. But we don't start services at 7 o'clock at our church. So I've got an hour and 5 minutes to preach, brother. When you buy a new car, if you have an opportunity to buy a new car, we have some people that work for General Motors. They always put those instruction books in it. And if you're like me, if they've got these new radio stereo systems in them, if you don't read the instruction book, you don't get half out of the stereo system. You're lucky if you can turn it on. Well, the Christian life is much like, if you really want to get the maximum performance out of this Christian life, we've got an instruction manual that tells us how to do it called God's Word. Like purchasing a new car, it helps us to perform what God would have us to do correctly. And it gives us some proper instructions on how to calculate and how to evaluate our Christian life and how to count what God has done for us. I preached on these verses not too long ago in my own church, and the word reckon is a word I have a lot of fun with. I used to be an accountant, and reckon is an accounting term. It also is a country term. I reckon we're going to get that done. And someone said, what does reckon mean? And someone said, well, it means when your guy comes to the boss, and the boss says, did you get the job done? He says, I reckon means, well, he got it done, but he wasn't too happy about it. Well, in accounting, it's a little different than that. In accounting, it is a term of coming and accounting to the reality of what something is. It's counting exactly what is taking place. It's accounting. It's making an accounting for or an audit of what has transpired so you know exactly what you got. And in the Bible, it tells us exactly what we got. We count on the fact that we are, it tells us in verse 1, that we are dead to sins. First of all, we have been killed to sin. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are no longer to be in sin. We are killed to sin. We are no longer under the obligation of sins. That means when temptation comes your way, that you have the power to resist it. Now, I didn't say temptation would not come your way. It does. You receive temptation. We're faced with temptation constantly. In fact, I believe honestly, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that temptation will be greater than it ever was before. Because temptation is therefore to entrench you or to grab you and bring you into sin. But to what Scripture tells us, we're dead to that. You know, where that temptation used to come into our lives and have control of us, and we would sin, we would follow that temptation. No longer, we are no longer, we can resist it because we're dead to sin. Another answer is that we are prohibited in verse 12 from continuing in sin. Let us not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. We are commanded not to sin no more. God is not being unreasonable. God is only giving commands. God is giving us the power to make our lives better than they've ever been before. Another misconception I have with Christianity, or people have with Christianity, I have a problem with, is that Christianity is some kind of fire insurance. Let me tell you what Christianity is. Before you ever consider eternity, before you ever consider heaven, Christianity is living life at its fullest and at its best possible. And God gives you the power to live that way and to make life as positive and as possible as can be. It's not a don't do. It is an instruction book for doing what is the best and what will give you the most out of life. It's not restricting you. It's opening up life for you. Christianity is exciting. Also, this instruction book offers certain exhortation to us. Verse 13 says, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God." We no longer we don't emphasize the negative, but the positive reality that now we put ourselves in God's service and God's hands. Let me tell you something. There's nothing as exciting as being in the will of God and doing His service. I don't care what you do. There's nothing. I was sharing with the church not too long ago that I watched these guys on TV, and they were trying to get that height of excitement and the new thrill they were doing. They were jumping out of airplanes with surfing boards on their feet, and they were surfing in the air. You know, and it was to get that sensation. They were talking about these guys that do this kind of stuff. You know, sort of like bungee jumping. How many have done that? Anybody done bungee jumping? I get to meet one of those people that bungee jump. Why is it that people, they're looking for a thrill, they're looking for an excitement in life, and God has the thrill for us right here. He has it all for us. And you talk about yield yourself to God. In there, that if you know the Greek and the aorist tense and all that stuff, what that means is not one time that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is a continued yielding to God. You see, salvation, as I would say to the two that came before this morning, salvation is only the beginning of salvation. Salvation is a continued thing. Yeah, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we're saved. But we continue to yield and allow God change us and give us more and give us more. And God give God control of our eyes and our nose and our mouth and our tongues and our feelings. And let God have all of us. I asked you tonight, have you reckoned what God can do for you? And then let's look at the great promise in verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." To understand the mechanics of the Christian life, you've got to understand that it's through the grace of God that you've got what you've got. It's not because of who you are. It's not because of who you're not or what you have or what you have not or all those kind of things. It's because of the grace of God. It is freely given to you to enjoy a life that can be freed from sin. It is to give you a life that can live joyful, to give you a new identity in Jesus Christ. We ought to start today. We need to start today to take off the old Christian attitude of defeatism, and we need to put on the new Christian attitude of victory, because we're victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Colossians it says, And put on the new man. Let's go to verse 9. "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, but put on the new man with a renewing in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Then over in Ephesians it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as a truth as is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the formal conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to these." We no longer... The idea there is, Christians, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are renewed. You are a new person. As though I take this jacket off, because it's warm up here. I take this jacket and lay it aside. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we put off being what we were. And we now live in God and the victory that God has for us. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can experience that victory tonight. It's easy. All you do is ask Jesus to come into your life. Believe that He's God's Son. Believe He died on the cross of Calvary for you. Ask Him to forgive you the sins of your life. We all know we've sinned. The Bible's very plain. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Very clear about that. There's no question about that. We've all sinned. And because of our sin, God, we have separation from God. And the only way that we can be in the right relationship to God, right? There's an old term we use in Kentucky. I don't know if they use that up here in Michigan or not. It's called get right with God. The only way you can get right with God is to have sin forgiven, because you can never be right with a holy God if there's unforgiven sin in your life. Let me share something else with you too. There are Christians who have unconfessed sin in your life. Now that doesn't mean you're not a Christian, that you're not saved. But what it means is, because of unconfessed, unforgiven sin in your life, and you haven't confessed that sin to God, that your relationship to God is not what it can be. And I think one of the reasons that we Christians live the deepest lives is because we live lives with unconfessed and unforgiving sin. If you want to live a renewed Christian life, if you're living in a defeatist attitude, you can live victorious tonight by coming to God and for confessing the sins to God and asking Him to forgive you. And He will. And that relationship can be back what it needs to be with God tonight. So as a music director comes, leads us in a song of invitation, you're going to have an opportunity tonight to live a victorious life. Maybe you've never lived it because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have an opportunity to come to this pastor tonight. Share with him that you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're a Christian tonight, and your Christian life, if you examine your Christian life during this hymn of invitation tonight, you realize that you're not living a victorious life. You're not living an exciting Christian life. Maybe you need to come tonight, confessing sin, asking God to forgive you. Maybe you need to come rededicate a life. Maybe God's just calling you to come to pray. Whatever it may be. Why don't you come to your pastor? I'm going to ask your pastor to come here and stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the precious message that you give us in your word of how we can live in a victorious life.